Extra time.
Hello and welcome back to the Extra Time podcast. It's me, your host, Patrick Van Straten. And today I'm joined by Sam Obaseki. How are you, Sam?
I'm good, bro. Very good. Very cold, actually. So, yeah, that's not really helping. The weather in London is not really great right now. But apart from that, everything's all good.
All right, good to hear that. What about you, Doogie? You should be used to the cold, at least.
Yeah, I do have a thick layer of fur all across my body, but not on my head, which is the point that matters, really. You lose most heat through your head, Patrick. And yeah, my ears, my head, with minimal covering, getting very cold indeed at the moment. But no, I'm good. We've got a spicy topic today. I think it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, I do think it should be a good one because it's already provoking a little bit of outrage on social media today. Cristiano Ronaldo has gone to war with the editor of France Football.
I love it.
For what he claims are lies. Yeah. And as always, the Ballon d'Or is a bit of a circus. So today we're going to talk about it because I think that this year's Ballon d'Or shortlist is one of the most ridiculous I've ever seen. And frankly, I think the award is really stupid. So what we're going to do today, I've drawn up the list of the top 30 candidates for the Ballon d'Or. I got distracted by it for a moment there because I saw Gerard Moreno. but what we're going to talk about is really the top 15, and we're going to do higher or lower. So we're going to go in them. We're going to go through them one by one, and you guys are going to tell me whether you would place that person higher or lower and why. Okay. Okay, so I think we'll start at 15. Get some of these less controversial ones out of the way before we get to the top five, where I think there's going to be some disagreement. Right, okay, so number 15 for the Ballon d'Or this year, Raheem Sterling. Would anyone like to take Raheem Sterling? Because I was thinking about this. I looked at him and I was just like, Raheem Sterling? Really? And then I was like, won the title, was England's best player of the Euros, and I think arguably the best player of the Euros for a long stretch. If England had won it, I think certainly I would have backed him to be the best player of the Euros. I don't know. I'm not that against this one, but I guess it's difficult because he's had such a quiet start to the current season, talking about leaving. I mean, when you're being courted by Arsenal, when Arsenal think they could feasibly get you, you are down bad. And Raheem Sterling is down bad right now. So can anyone make an argument here? Have you got a higher, lower, or are you happy with where he is?
Oh, but why don't you fire off on this one?
I think he's in a good position, you know. I reckon if it was just off of the season, like you said, it was quite quiet in a sense. He was in and out of the squad, but I think the Euros really saved him. And like you said, I put him up there as top three performers of the Euros. So I guess that top 15 does make a lot of sense, but I don't really know if the Ballon d'Or, like, because they try and make it seem like it's just, it's from, when is it? August to October, right?
Or who knows?
Yeah,
man.
It's August to October. Yeah, I don't even know in it. So it's like, if you're putting it in that time frame, then this season he's not really featured as much for City. He's not scored as many goals. He's getting in and amongst the goals now, but I don't know. But yeah, let me not go into that. I think Sterling's in the right position. But what do you reckon, Dukes?
I think he's... I kind of agree with you. I think he kind of is. I mean, they put such importance on performances in the big tournaments. He was superb in the Euros. But, you know, at the back end of that Champions League run with Man City, which brought them to the final, I really thought it was Foden and Mahrez on the wings that were making the most difference to that. And yeah, just hasn't really featured at all until the last couple of weeks for Man City this season. As Pat says, Barcelona are looking at him, Arsenal are looking at him, which is quite disappointing if you're Raheem Sterling, age still 26, I believe, that Barcelona, who are not the same Barcelona that they used to be, and Arsenal, who are not the same Arsenal that they used to be sort of 10, 15 years ago as well, are looking at you right now. I think he does need a move away. If I was him, I think he's done such a good stint at Man City. I think he's been superb there. But sometimes you just need a new start, freshen up a little bit. And they've got such competition for places, and he just doesn't seem to be in Pep Guardiola's even top, you know, three or four wingers right now. So, yeah, I think a little move away for him. But I'm not, compared to other names on this list, which I think are way too high and some of which I think are way too low, Sterling doesn't really get me angry either way.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I think he's a... I don't know if he's in decline, but his numbers have been in decline the last couple of seasons. And while he's still only 26, there's a lot of football in his legs, you know. Like, this is a guy who was playing top-level football at 17, 18. So it wouldn't be that surprising if he did have a little slowdown, or maybe if he had, like, you know, a down season in the middle of his career, like Eden Hazard had a couple of those and then came roaring back, you know. So it's possible that we'll get that out of him. But it just feels like a lot of football in his legs, really difficult last two seasons, trying to figure out a new role in the City side. But 17 goals and assists in the Premier League last season is not like best player in the world contender type stuff. And I say this as someone who is like, I love Raheem Sterling. Like, I think he's an amazing player, but I'm totally fine with 15th. Dougs is absolutely right. There are some abominations in here, and Raheem Sterling is not one of them. So let's move on to, I think we should do 14 and 13 together, because we've got Leonardo Bonucci at 14 and Giorgio Chiellini at 13. I'm not quite sure what's made Chiellini placed higher here. I'm going to go ahead and say that I think this is terrible. They're great. Great at the Euros, but I think, you know, the Euros was a team effort. It really was. Great protection from the midfield. I think the wing backs were great. I think an incredible coaching job from Mancini. And I just don't think you can ignore how bad last year was from Juve and how bad the start to the current season has been for them. Like, they are terrible at the moment. They just had that Chelsea defeat this week, that 4-0 defeat, is Juventus's heaviest defeat in any competition since 2004. Like, is the and yet they're two central defenders nominated for the Ballon d'Or. That does not seem right to me. And to be honest, I get it, great at the Euros, but I just think this idea that, like, you know, one defender or two defenders, like, these are the guys who really make the difference in the Euros, I just don't buy that. I've never bought that. I think this stuff of, like, you won a trophy, therefore you've been amazing, is absolute nonsense. And I've said it before, I think it's been imported from basketball. And in basketball, it makes sense. Fewer guys on the field, like, people on the court make a much bigger difference in basketball. In football, it just doesn't work that way. And so, like, yes, Leonardo Bonucci, Giorgio Chiellini end the season with a ring, but, like, I'm not feeling this one.
Yeah, it's really stupid. If I was Bonucci, I'd be kind of pissed off that Chiellini's even above me, because Chiellini missed so much of last season with an injury.
Yeah.
But neither of them should be anywhere close to this top 15, in my opinion. I think they should be lower ends of the 20s. Yeah, as you say, Juve's defence has not been anywhere close to its best for quite a while now. I think De Ligt's been the outstanding centre-back there for a little while. And it just really annoys me, this whole list with centre-backs, because Simon Kjær at 18th as well is an absolute joke as well. I really appreciate what he did for Christian Eriksen, that amazing, you know, show of sort of courage and leadership in that game against Finland at the Euros. Phenomenal. Give him an award for that. But on the basis of his performances last year, like, none of these three players should be above Ruben Dias, who was the outstanding Premier League centre-back with Virgil van Dijk injured, or Antonio Rudiger, who even didn't get nominated for the top 30. So I think this, defenders in this list, they got so, so wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the worst thing about it is they're on, and obviously we can say that it's due to current form or just a dip after winning the Euros, but they're on the verge of not even making it to the World Cup. So
good point.
It shows where they're at. And I guess, like you said, I don't know if it's because of the fact that there's certain players or just players in general right now, there's not like an elite group. We're used to seeing an elite group where so the number 1 to 15, you're like, okay, cool, they're going to get muddled up. But now, because there's so many young players coming through, and Bonucci and Chiellini have that experience and won a trophy in their latter years, and it's like, wow, they were able to do this and win in England when they were they went into that game not being the favourites, do you know what I mean? So it's like, okay, cool, I understand that storyline and the heroics and everything that are surrounding the Euros, but at the same time, come on. Like Doogie said, I don't think that their levels should even be in the top 15. And there's players like Luis Suarez, who won the league last year, who helped Atletico Madrid get that. I think that in itself is much bigger than what Bonucci and Chiellini done for Italy, because it's just how many games in the Euros, according to the whole year, they wasn't good enough. So I don't know, man. It's very strange. Very strange.
Mm. So I think we're all agreed those guys should be lower.
They should be lower, 100%.
Definitely later. High 20s for me.
Oh, okay. I mean, I don't want to specify, to be honest, because, like, Chiellini just turns up, like, once a year, puts in, like, five amazing performances and then goes back in like the freezer until next year. But yeah. Let's move on then to 12th, which is Lukaku. I'm going to go straight in and I think higher. And I think and I think the main reason for that to me, like even if you just want to say like one place higher, is that Erling Haaland is ahead of him. Now, to me, like, I've just said that like titles are a little bit overrated here. But like, if Haaland is going to be above Lukaku, he needs to have been way better than Lukaku over the course of the year, because Lukaku was the best player, the difference-making player for a team that won Serie A and ended, you know, what is an incredibly dominant streak for Juventus. So when I look at these players, I say like, wow, Haaland, how much better than Lukaku was he? Well, the answer is not really. Like, not really better than Lukaku. Lukaku was absolutely incredible last season. He was the best player in Serie A. He carried his team to a title. He's been in absolutely stupendous form for Belgium as well. If he were killing it right now for Chelsea, he'd be easily top 10. But as it is, I'm totally comfortable saying he should be higher. How high, I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, I'd go quite a bit higher, to be honest. Yeah. I think he's done better than Haaland. I think better than De Bruyne, better than Cristiano Ronaldo as well.
Yep.
I mean, arguably better than Salah as well, given his contribution to a winning team. I know Salah's performances at the back end of last year were crucial to Liverpool finishing third. He's obviously been great at the start of this year, but not the same silverware or impact on a winning side as Lukaku. So I'd potentially have Lukaku as high as sixth.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
I agree. Like you lot said, I think, I don't know what it is with Lukaku. I think when there's a certain, because we know that he's a goal scorer, maybe it's what is expected of him. So maybe they wanted more, and the fact that Belgium, that golden generation, they probably expected more from him. So they're putting him below the likes of Donnarumma and Haaland. And because Haaland, you know, he's scoring more goals and he's kind of newer on the block in a sense, yeah. But come on. Lukaku, the fact that he won a Serie A title for helped them win their first Serie A title in almost a decade, and then he's moved to Chelsea, and even though he had the injury, he hit the ground running. So I don't understand how he's 12th, to be honest.
Well, yeah, especially when we'll leave that, but I'm just looking at the list below here, and I do not understand what's going on here. Like, you know, was the difference between Lukaku and Simon Kjær like six places, really? Like, that is absolutely ridiculous. He's definitely, I'm looking at, well, when we get to number four, I think this is something we can talk about as well. So, I don't know, should we move on to Haaland? Because I think, we don't have to do that much on this, but I just think Haaland is too injury prone and hasn't really, he's been great when he's been on the field this year. I think he just got his 50th Bundesliga goal in his 50th Bundesliga game. That's amazing. However, he has been injured quite a bit. He has not been a difference maker at the top level. They have not won anything significant. Like, I'm just struggling to see why he's so high. And look,
well, they got that Pokal, to be fair.
Yay. But like, I mean, it's just like, it's just one of those things where I think like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to do down the players who play for clubs that are maybe not in their best cycle right now, because you can be an amazing player at a club that's not really performing. That is totally fair enough. However, has he been the 11th best player in the world? Has he been better than Lukaku? Like,
I think it's just a hype. I think that the Ballon d'Or trophy, like, you see it year on year. There's always that conversation and arguments around who should be in the top 15, top 10 or whatever. But now you can definitely say, and I saw someone saying it on Twitter the other day, about how it's just become like a, it's almost like a Met Gala of football. You just want the most famous or most known footballers in the top, in and around the top 10. So it's like, oh, look, this is where Haaland is today. In the next 5 years, he's probably going to be a winner. But realistically, he's not done anything to be in that top. I'd say even 15, really, because winning the cup that he won in Germany isn't like magnificent. And this isn't, it's not like we're only given this reward on scoring goals. And if we was, then obviously he would be much higher up. But realistically, it's not just that. So until he leaves, maybe, and he's able to win league titles and he's really able to, like, you know, contribute to a team that's challenging for titles and not just scoring goals, then yeah. But now I don't think he deserves to be in that position. I think he should be lower.
I actually don't entirely agree. I think if it was just on, I'd be happy for it to be just on scoring goals. Like, I take back what I said, as in, like, has he been the 11th best player? I think he probably has been one of the 10 best players in the world when he's played this season. But I don't think he's played enough. I don't think he's played enough. And, you know, like, this is not somebody who's, like, you know, smashing through the Euros and, like, you know, overperforming despite his team being poor. This is not a guy who's dragging his team through difficult matches a lot of the time. Like, I don't know, like, last season even, I you know, he still had Jadon Sancho alongside him. Like, he still had Reina. Like, he's not just doing it all on his own. I guess I just look at it and I think, like, yeah, he's a great player. He's a great player. But this is not a great year for him. And again, I kind of agree. Like, there's a little element. I think this is less the Met Gala idea. I think it's less of an issue with people like Haaland than it is with, like, the Real Madrid Barcelona types. But But I does feel a little bit like, well, Haaland's going to be coming to this award ceremony for the next 10 years, so, like, we'll get him here now.
Yeah, I think with Haaland, he had quite a few. Well, he had two quiet games against Man City in the Champions League, and obviously you can't really hold that too much against him because Man City. Yeah. Particularly last year, were one of the best teams in Europe. You know, look at it again this year, to be fair as well. But, you know, were far better than Dortmund across two legs. And Dortmund did put them under a little bit of pressure. Haaland didn't really deliver in that Champions League tie. And then, you know, they lost the Bundesliga fairly easily in the end. Did win the Pokal, but it was really Jadon Sancho that took that final by the scruff of the neck. So Haaland being 11th, it's not as controversial as some others. I'm not too fussed by it. I don't think it's an outrage, but I don't think it's I don't think he's far too low either.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the thing. I get what you're saying. It's not too controversial because obviously we know he's a goal scorer, but I just think, I don't know. I just don't know how they judge these awards anymore. I don't know what we're basing this off of anymore. Because even if you talk about some of the players behind him, and like as I mentioned him earlier, like the Suarez, is the impact that he had on his team is much better than Haaland, in my opinion. I mean,
I'm happy to argue against Suarez, but yeah, I think Haaland's a difficult one. I think that maybe like Haaland, if it weren't for like Lukaku below him, I'd probably be okay with where he is. Maybe I'd be okay with where he is if we just demote some of the guys ahead of him. So should we go on to the top 10 now? Because now in the top 10, like, we've got number 10, Gianluigi Donnarumma. I don't have a major issue with this. Fair. Yeah, won the Euros. I've got 14 clean sheets in 37 league games last season here. 4 goals conceded and 7 at the Euros. Yes, you know, as we were saying with Benucci Chiellini, defending is not just a one or two man thing, but he was great, won a major trophy, is clearly one of the best keepers in the world. Like, I don't have a strenuous objection to this one at all.
I think it's fair as well, but if we're putting him in the conversation, I'm just going to put it out there. Mendy deserves to be on this list.
No, he doesn't.
He deserves to be. He does.
He doesn't. He does. Sam.
You cannot tell me that Edouard Mendy does not deserve to be on this list.
I can.
Donnarumma.
And
is,
I will.
Is, why?
He can maybe push out Gerard Moreno.
He's not as good as Donnarumma. Like, that's the thing. Donnarumma's a world-class goalkeeper. Mendy is a very good goalkeeper.
If we're looking at clean sheets in the period that we're talking about, Mendy, I believe Mendy has more clean sheets than Donnarumma.
I think he got
it in the Champions League.
I think Mendy was playing behind one of the best, like, 6-month defenses that I've ever seen. Like, I don't think you can say, like, Mendy's been, like, look, here's the thing about Donnarumma, right? Like, downgrade Donnarumma's performance for the Euros because we've got, you know, like, two Italian defenders in here and an Italian midfielder later on, that makes sense to me. But the thing is, like, he was amazing at Milan last season, despite the fact that I don't think Milan's midfield is, like, you know, a world-class defense. Like, defensive midfield, I don't think their defense is a world-class defense. Mendy, on the other hand, was playing behind a guy who I think should be the highest ranking midfielder in here. He was playing in an incredible team system. Like rather than putting Mendy in here, I would rather put someone like Rudiger in here, who I think deserves it more.
And that's the problem with everyone's argument against Mendy. It's that you're underappreciating what he brings to this Chelsea side ever since he's come into. You are.
Because he's nothing special, Sam.
I don't want to make this into a podcast about Chelsea.
Yeah, yeah
but
you do.
You actually have to.
But
no,
Sam, you do.
But yeah, we're here now because Pat doesn't want to appreciate how good Mendy is.
He's like, fine.
Genuinely.
He's fine.
You can't just say he's fine when he basically keeps a clean sheet every other game.
Not because of him.
Even, I'm sure.
Not because of him. I've seen him have I'd say like two or three really outstanding games. And the rest of the time, what I see is a team that just doesn't allow shots. Like, it's not like they're getting... There have been a couple of games this season. Okay, last season, all the clean sheets. Chelsea were not conceding shots. It wasn't Mendy making amazing saves. They were not conceding shots. It wasn't like a couple of weeks ago where he was making, like, save after save. Like, it's just not...
But he's proven when he has to do that, he's there to make the saves.
Like, so have loads of people. Like, let's put Aaron Ramsdale in. Obviously, let's not do that. That's stupid. If you were talking about Oblak, who has a legitimate claim to being like the best goalkeeper in the world for the last like 5 years, I would maybe listen to you. And also, he won that title last season largely on his back, I would say. Like, if we want to talk about that, that's fine. But Chelsea didn't win like the Champions League last season because of Mendy. They just didn't.
Okay, we're going to come back to this podcast one day and you're going to have to apologise.
What, for saying Mendy's very good? Is that, I'm going to have
no,
to apologise for that?
No, because you're saying he's very good, but you're downgrading what he does for the team. You're saying it's the defence in front of him and what they do for him.
Look,
when he's called into action, he's proven that he is a force to be reckoned with.
He is.
Yeah, Doogie, what's your opinion?
Why don't I come in as the mediator here? In my personal opinion, I think
how
it's fine.
How are we ended up talking about Edouard Mendy?
I think it's fine if Mendy is included in the top 30 for the Ballon d'Or. Is it an outrage he's not above Gianluigi Donnarumma? No. Is it shocking that he's not included above some of these players? No. If he was included, I think he'd be about 26th. Like, let's just move on.
Fair.
Okay, I will take out, I think Azpilicueta, he was 29th. Let's take him out. Let's take Mason Mount out at 19 and we can put Mendy at 26.
Yeah?
Does that sound fair?
Oh my gosh, let's move on.
Look, Sam, some people are elite and some people are just good. Some people are podcast hosts. And some people are podcast guests. That's what I'm saying. Okay. And Edouard Mendy is a podcast guest. That's my point.
Oh my God.
Should we move on to some of the big names then? Because those are mostly the guys that no one cares about. Let's move on to number 9, Kylian Mbappe. I have some issues here as well.
I think this is rude, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean though? Because I think when Mbappe's played, has a claim to being one of the like three best players in the world.
But, well, that's what I was going to say.
He misses so many games, Dukes.
Who, Mbappe?
Yeah, he misses so many games, man.
I don't know. I think his injury record's not too bad.
It's
what did he play? 41 games last year. It's not too bad. I don't know. I think this is quite rude on Ligue 1. I don't really know what more he could have done short of winning the Champions League last year to prove that he had a better year than Cristiano Ronaldo, Jorginho, you know, other players who are above him. No, that's probably the only really controversial ones. Kevin De Bruyne as well.
That's
he had a much better year than Kevin De Bruyne last year. I don't know what more he can do to get higher up in this Ballon d'Or list until he moves to a Real Madrid or something, because people don't really appreciate what he's done at PSG. I know they didn't win the league title last year. I know it was a relatively disappointing year, but 45 goals and assists in 41 league and Champions League games last season. That's ridiculous. And some massive performances in the Champions League too, against Barcelona away, I seem to remember as well. And he's really stepped up as well. I know he had that disappointing penalty miss in the Euros for France. That will be held against him. I know it seems so stupid, but that genuinely will be held against him. But 9th on the list, I think, is way too low for him. I'd be happy to have him in any position between 3 and 6th.
Yeah, damn. I agree. But that's the problem, and that's probably what he knows as well. Like, I think there was even a picture of him when he found out that he was knifed. He looked very angry. And to be fair, I hear him because, like you said, the performances in the Champions League, he shows out every time he's called upon. In Ligue 1, you can say he's used to it and he's always going to score goals, but I guess not winning the Champions League or even making it to the final again, because I don't know, maybe that would have made, bumped him up a few more places. But yeah, he can. I understand why he wants to leave, and he's not trying to sign a new contract at all.
Yeah, I mean, it. This kind of goes back to the thing you were talking about, Sam, which is like this Met Gala thing, which is that, like, I think a lot of this list is just like nostalgia stuff, and it's nostalgia specifically for like the golden age of Real Madrid and Barcelona, like 5 years ago.
Yeah,
it is shocking how many people like are on this list who used to be amazing for Real Madrid or Barcelona, and now are just like pretty good or even very good, but are not like the five best players in the world. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, who, if you, the four best teams in Europe right now are by miles Bayern Munich, Chelsea, Liverpool and City. Those are the four best teams in Europe. And I would say they're quite a long way clear currently. So this list, in my opinion, should be dominated by those guys. And yet they're just not. And yet they're just not. Like, I do not understand it. Like, it's just like, once again, we're looking at a list like Karim Benzema, number four. Now, don't get me wrong, I have a lot of respect for what Benzema has done this year. But number four? That's absolutely crazy. Like, at least the thing about Mbappe as well is, like, Mbappe, when everybody's fit and playing, right now, I think the four best players in the world are Lewandowski, Messi, Mbappe, and probably Salah. Like, I think that's a pretty, I think that's a pretty solid four right now. Like, but there are people just inserted in here who it's like, oh, well, he was great once. Or, oh, well, I actually didn't really watch him play, but I looked at the honours section of his Wikipedia page and it turns out he won two trophies this year. Like, so it's just, yeah, I don't know. I'm happy for Mbappe to be higher just because I object to the like the nostalgia engine that powers the Ballon d'Or. But sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying about some of the nostalgia. Like, I don't think Modric, for example, deserved to be in the top 30.
Oh, my God, what is he doing? Why is he there?
That makes absolutely no sense for me. I've actually got less of an issue with Benzema being in the top, being fourth or fifth, to be honest, because I think he took a very average Real Madrid side literally on his back to pretty much the last. I think it did go down to the last day of La Liga. He got them to the semi-finals of the Champions League as well in a real transitional year. They weren't at their best, anywhere close to their best, Real Madrid, having not really spent in the preceding like 12 months. And his numbers last year, his numbers at the start of this year, really, really good. Some phenomenal moments in the Euros as well that really stand out. A couple of goals as well. Lifted the UEFA Nations League. Like, I'm not surprised Benzema is fourth. And I don't think it's as outrageous as some of the other inclusions in the top 10. Like, I simply don't understand why Kevin De Bruyne is ninth. Eighth.
Yeah,
like, that makes no sense.
Well, let's go on to De Bruyne and we'll come back to Benzema. Like, look, Benzema, I don't know. I just don't care. He does not deserve to be four. Like, if he's in the top 15, so be it. But, like, four, serious. Has he been? He's not been one of the 10 best players in the world this season, like, or last season.
It's just, I think he
I'm
has.
Really surprised by that. I agree with Uber.
I just don't think he has at all. And I really rate him. Like, I think he's been great, but he's not been, like, has he been as good as Mo Salah? Like, no, he hasn't. He just simply hasn't. Like, it's that simple. As far as I can tell, like, I don't really get it. Like, we'll see what he could do next season for Prison FC. but like, for now, let's just talk about KDB for now. Sam, I will let you say your piece about Benzema. Don't you worry. I just don't want to get distracted too much because KDB, completely agree with Dukes. I think this is outrageous. Outrageous.
He hasn't been good for time. I haven't seen him have a good performance in a while. Like, and that's being honest. I don't know if it's fatigue. I don't know if it's the injury that he came back from. He hasn't really found his feet. But every time I see him play, I'm watching City and I'm like, oh, bro, KDB was playing. Like, that's the effect he has on me now. And I think Foden is become more crucial for them. We saw Bernardo Silva as well. He was linked with a move away in the summer, and he's become more crucial to their side than KDB. He does have glimpses here and there in games where you're like, okay, cool, yeah, we know he can do that. But to be eighth in the Ballon d'Or list, you have to have at least, like, let me see if someone can bring me a highlight reel of what he's done in that period. I don't think it would be that great. Do you know what I mean? I don't even think he started that many games as well for City during that period. So I don't know, that's probably one of the most shocking ones out of the whole top 10, and I think that is down to how good he has been in the last few years, and the fact that they probably just thought, they were doing the list and KDB's name was in and around there from a few years ago, and they were like, oh yeah, let's just leave him there, because it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, he won PFA Player of the Year as well out of I don't think that was deserved either. I'm not saying it was out of nowhere, but it definitely wasn't deserved over Harry Kane, who did have a phenomenal year last year. And I think I agree with you. I think there were sort of four or five players over the last 12 months who have been more crucial to Man City. I think Ruben Dias, I think Phil Foden, I think Riyad Mahrez in the Champions League last year was excellent. I think Gundogan. And this year, I think Bernardo Silva and Rodri have really stepped up as well. And KDB, you know, has been recovering from that injury. But I just don't think he's been... You know, he's still Man City's best player when he's on top form by a distance. He's probably the Premier League's best player along with Mo Salah on top form when he's really at it. But we haven't seen him consistently at it for a long time in 2021. And he's robbing a space of players that should have been a lot higher, in my opinion.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, I mean, this is a guy... make it make sense. Like, De Bruyne is eighth. Bruno Fernandes is in the 20s. I do not understand that. Bruno Fernandes, like... And Harry Kane 100% deserved to be here over De Bruyne. Right, so, yeah, I think this is an absolutely ridiculous one. This is definitely lower. Like, I think he'd be kind of lucky to make the shortlist, to be honest with you. Like, I think it was like 18 goal involvements in the league last season, though I did find he played like 26 games in the league, which is not great, but he got man of the match in nearly a third of them. He got 8 man of the match awards last season, which is pretty funny. But like, yeah, he's... I don't know, maybe he does suffer a bit from how like watchable Foden is, but it just feels like this, I don't know, I mean, maybe he'll come storming back this season. I'm sure he will, like, because he's had a difficult run because he's 30 now and he had COVID, so we'll see how things go. But to me, it just feels like I actually forgot about KDB a little bit this year. And obviously it's not
his... that's the thing.
Sorry, go on.
Sorry, I was going to say, if he doesn't play as well, you don't really see City missing him as much as you used to think. Like, and even to that extent, we're used to a City having a season where KDB has a period on the sideline because of an injury or him being out. And it's like, sometimes there's periods where they play even better without him. So, yeah, it's a real interesting one. But I guess it is because he won the PFA Player of the Year Award, and the fact that City... won the league as well, and he is the second captain after Fernandinho, so all of that coming in with the fact that he is, like you said, on his day, he is probably one of the best footballers in the world. So yeah, is an interesting one.
Yeah, good shout. Well, let's move on then to number 7, because he was name checked a couple of times there. It's Mo Salah. Sam, I'm coming straight back to you. How do you feel about Mo Salah at 7?
He should be top 5, but I can understand why he isn't, just because of the fact that Liverpool's individually, I think he had a good season, but Liverpool, I think if they had maybe been in the Champions League for longer, if they had been challenging for the league as well, he would have moved up a few places. But because they, as a team, they wasn't that great. And if we're used to Salah scoring, we're used to Salah being in the Liverpool, he got 25 goals and 18 assists. Last season, like, that's very good. Those numbers are amazing in the Premier League, in the Champions League as well. But at the same time, I think if it was now this season, for example, if we're looking at him as a whole, he's looking unstoppable. I don't know if he had periods like that last year, but it wasn't as consistent as this year, innit?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I'm not too mad at that. I think that makes sense. But at the same time, he should not be behind Cristiano Ronaldo. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. He's the best player on one of the best sides in the world. Like, it's literally that simple. Right? You know, he's just an incredible player. Dukes, do you agree that he should be higher? Because I feel like, I mean, Sam is right. Like, he's gone up a notch this season. But some of the stuff he's done this season is like Messi level. It's that good.
Oh yeah, phenomenal. I mean, yeah, some of those goals, that back-to-back weekends, those goals against Man City and Watford were some of the best goals in Premier League history, I think. I don't think that's an exaggeration to say. They genuinely were that good. And he's just been unreal this year, really consistent as well, and really helped this Liverpool side, who have, I think, scored 3 or more goals in something like 12 of their 20 games this year. So yeah, the key point of that attack, and their forward line has just been absolutely insane. But in order to put him higher, I've got to see who I'd put lower. And yeah, I agree with you. I put Ronaldo lower. I would have Jorginho lower. And then other than that, personally, I'm not too cross about anyone else. I know we were disagreeing about Benzema earlier, Pat, but I'd probably have him, yeah, fifth, I think, on the basis of this year, just because Liverpool didn't have their best year in 2020-21. So I don't think it's a... I don't think it's an outrage, but on the basis of the season so far, and he's standing himself in great stead for a real assault on the top three if this form continues throughout the rest of this season.
Yep, cool. So shall we move on to Ronaldo then? Because, I mean, what's happening here? Why is this happening?
Reputation.
Yeah.
Reputation, 100%.
Great season for Juve last year. Great season, but tons of pens. Absolutely tons of pens. Has been fine for Man United. Nothing special. He did set a new record for international goals. Like, well done. But, like, I don't know, man. Like, at this point, he just drifts around the field, takes penalties, pops up and scores a goal. Like, the other day in the Champions League, it was... I can't remember which game it was, but he scored... I think it may have been the first Villarreal game, and he scored that really late winner. And I remember afterwards someone said, what a performance. What a performance. And I was like, he was terrible in this game. Like, he was terrible. He popped up and scored a goal. That's a great moment. And those moments are important.
He's a moment man right now.
But yeah, he can't sustain it anymore. And also, I think that playing 180 minutes, two games a week, maybe in the first 90 minutes he plays in the week, he is one of the 30 best players in the world. But in the second 90 minutes that he plays during the week, he is not good at all. He just shouldn't be. He can't start two games a week at 36, especially when you've got Rashford and Greenwood on the bench. Yeah, he just can't do it.
Yeah, he is definitely a moment man right now. But that's the thing, is you can't, like, I'm thinking about them as a business now. The Ballon d'Or is a business. They're probably thinking, if business. We have Ronaldo out. No, because realistically, I think this was the first time he's been out of the top five since 2010.
Yeah, it was.
he probably looked at that, and that was thought that was a violation. So if he was outside of the top 10, he would have said, "Don't ever associate my name with your awards ever again." Like, do you know what I mean? And that's Ronaldo we're talking about. And like we said, the Met Gala type vibe. You need the certain names in and around. And I genuinely hope and do believe that this might be the last year where we're seeing those type of players coming out of these lists, because we've not seen the Ramos in the top 10. Maybe if he was even playing for PSG, even if he wasn't doing great or not, he probably still would have been in this list. But yeah, like, I think Ronaldo, Lionel Messi, Lewandowski and Benzie are probably the only ones that are probably in their, like, not mid-30s, but just over 30. So it's like, I think the newer guard are coming through a little bit.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually. Right. I mean, looking at this top six here, all six of them are over the age of 30. Maybe not Jorginho and Kante, maybe they're 29. But yeah, it's a pretty old top six, isn't it? Massive credit to Ronaldo, you know, still putting in the goals at 36. You know, he's a freak. But in terms of his all-round play, you know, and impact on an entire team, he's not been the third best striker in the world according to the Ballon d'Or. Like, how is he above Lukaku on the basis of last season? Like, he was dropped for the final game of the year against Bologna when they were deciding whether Juve would finish in the top four or not. And, you know, he popped up with a couple of goals for Portugal in the Euros, but they massively underperformed as well. He's done pretty well at United, I think. I think he's done pretty much, like, slightly better than most people expected. And you know, generally, you know, stepped up for some big occasions, but sixth in the world, come on, like, it's way too high.
Yeah, I mean, this is just like, I think, you know, football, I think, is fundamentally conservative. Like, people are constantly, like, you know, dreaming of, like, this forgotten past where they're just like, oh my God, weren't things so much better back in the day? You know, so if you say, like, I don't know, Mo Salah is better than, like, Ryan Giggs, everyone goes absolutely berserk. Like, because they're like, oh no, I grew up watching that guy. He was the greatest player ever.
Yeah.
And there's some of that with Ronaldo now. You've just got a generation of people who are like, he's the best player I ever saw. Well, if they didn't watch Messi, he's the best player I ever saw. Like, I grew up with him and therefore he has to be there. But like, it's ridiculous to just put these people in here because you're like, oh, well, he has been great. therefore we have to acknowledge him as if he is still great. Now he's merely very good, I would say. Yeah. And that's fine. Like, being very good, like, is a very good thing to be at 36. That's crazy. Mm. But you're not the sixth best player in the world, and especially not in the last year when Juve, like, had a pretty poor campaign, and Portugal, I still think, have never quite fulfilled their promise with Ronaldo in the side, but despite that Euro win. So anyway, should we get on to the top five?
Yes,
the number spice. Five, N'Golo Kanté, totally fine with this one. Totally fine with it.
Yeah.
I'd have him higher.
Yeah, I think I could see that argument, but probably not higher. Probably only fourth, I'd say. Maybe third at a pinch, but...
Yeah, I think he should be above Jorginho. I don't really care where he ends up, but yeah, he should be above Jorginho. He's a better player than Jorginho. I think he was more important to that Champions League run. Yes, they didn't do as well in the Euros, but until that defeat...
But that's where it is, though.
I know.
But yeah, but that's stupid.
It's the Euros.
But if your performances in another competition were so much better than Jorginho's, which they were in the Champions League, it's no disrespect to Jorginho, I thought he was brilliant, but Kanté was man of the match in, what, the final five matches? Or the, you know, at least four of the final five, I think. Yeah. Both legs of the semi, at least. Like, he was brilliant. Won the Nations League as well. Man of the match in the Champions League final. He has had his injuries at the start of this year, which might have slightly held him back from finishing a little bit higher, but yeah, I definitely have him above Jorginho. There was just this weird tidal wave of stupidity that took Jorginho to third.
See, that's what the disrespect that I cannot appreciate, Doogie. I didn't expect that from you.
He's great, but he's not been the third best player in the world this year or any year.
He's not been in the top 30 in the world this year.
But okay, but can we now talk about impact on your team? Can we talk about the importance you have in your squad? Because, like you said, Kanté had periods in the year for Chelsea and even France where he was injured, and the person that was ever present in the midfield for Chelsea was Jorginho. When you watch them play, they obviously complement each other very well, hence why they're both in the top five. Yeah, but Kanté, that it's almost Jorginho does. It's his role isn't as desirable to look at. I was having an argument with someone today, yeah, and they were saying, they were saying the same thing. Jorginho doesn't deserve to be in the top five. He doesn't deserve to be in the top 10 even. And I'm like, oh, you can't tell me that a team that has won the Champions League and then they won the Euros, and there's a player that's playing in the midfield that facilitates everyone around them to be much better players and also contributes. It's not like he's just there winning tackles and doing nothing else. He genuinely has an impact on everything, and both systems. He's playing in two similar systems in a sense, but with around different players. It's not like he needs a Kanté. Do you know what I mean? Mm. In the Italian squad, he was doing very well as well. And the fact that he was consistently there. If Kanté had the whole season where he wasn't injured, or if he didn't have periods in the season where he was injured, I could understand. But when Kanté was out, Jorginho was that man that we relied on, and we saw in certain games when Kanté was injured, Jorginho and Kovacic worked very well together. We're even seeing this season when Kanté's injured, when Kovacic is injured, whether he's playing with Loftus-Cheek, anyone, he still is that top performer. Do you know what I mean? So I don't think it's bad to put him in that third position, in my opinion.
I think he's a top performer. I'm not arguing with that. I think he's a great player. But when Kanté plays alongside Jorginho, Kante's the outstanding central midfielder. When Kovacic plays alongside Jorginho, Kovacic is the outstanding midfielder.
Yeah.
When Verratti does it, it's Verratti. Like, he is just not the outstanding player in either team. And I'm fine with him being, you know, even in the top 10, it's fine. He deserves it. He won two big trophies, which is what this stupid award's all about anyway. But in terms of who is the best player, he's not top three, and he never should be.
But outstanding, when you're talking about being
outstanding...
I've got nothing
to add to that. That's perfect argument.
When you're talking about being outstanding, yeah, I genuinely want to know what you mean. Because when I watch Jorginho and how he controls the game, how he facilitates everyone around him, how they feel so comfortable giving the ball in every position, yeah, I think that's outstanding. Mm. I think that what he does for Chelsea and what he does for Italy is outstanding.
I hope you're arguing this when Barcelona are at their peak, and I hope you're arguing for Busquets to win the Ballon d'Or.
And I hope you make the same argument for like Rodri now, who's doing it for a much better team than Chelsea.
I literally don't say it like that. They're not much better.
They are.
I literally said they're not much better
at the moment.
I literally
they are.
said the same thing. Yeah, if Rodri did what he done for City, if the roles were reversed, yeah, and Rodri had won the Champions League with City, and then he won the Euros with Spain, and he was in the top three, I would not be able to tell you and say that he's not he shouldn't be in the top three with what he does for his side, because it is quality. Maybe okay. It's the DM in me talking. I think that those players deserve more respect.
Sam, there's a difference between saying they deserve respect and saying they deserve to be third in the Ballon d'Or. And Doogie is right. Like, Jorginho has not been the outstanding player. Saying he makes the players around him better is good. That is true of many, many players. In fact, I'd say that's true of most players who are playing for Chelsea in their run to the Champions League final, because that is the system that Tuchel constructed around them. But Jorginho, if he's going to be on this shortlist for the Ballon d'Or, I think he's got to be like between 20 and 30. Like, he's just not that good. Like, I'm not.
That's crazy.
Crazy. He's not in Italy's top three midfielders. Like, Conte, you can talk definitely about like him missing games, and I completely agree about that. But Conte was incredible in the last two games of the Champions League. He was the best player on the pitch in both games.
So was Jorginho.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
He was fine. He was fine.
See, you're not giving him credit. You love
no,
his credit.
No, Sam.
That's why.
What are you talking about? I'm literally talking about how Conte deserves to be there, but Jorginho doesn't. What are you on about? Like,
credit to Jorginho. You compared him to Xhaka. You said Xhaka could come into the Chelsea.
Yeah, I genuinely
do what Jorginho does.
I think that's kind of true.
I don't think
that'd be that big a downgrade. But Rodri could come in and be better than Jorginho immediately.
He could be levels, but Rodri's a quality player.
He's better than Jorginho. Like, so this is the thing. Like, it's your issue isn't that like I'm not giving him credit. I actually am giving him credit. Your issue
not
is
really.
That you think he deserves a lot more credit. We're disagreeing about the amount of credit he gets, Sam. Like, so no, you're saying this is disrespect, because in your view, not giving him the amount of respect that you give him as a lunatic Chelsea fan is somehow disrespecting him. But it's not the case. Like, N'Golo Conte was absolutely out of this world, unplayable in the biggest matches that mattered this season. Jorginho was steady and fine a lot of the time.
See, and that's where we've got to end this. Because if you genuinely think that he is just steady and
fine,
then you're watching the game differently to me. And maybe a few other
people. Yeah, I'm not watching it wearing a Chelsea shirt. That's the difference.
No, because it's not just Chelsea fans that see the qualities that Jorginho has.
No,
it's not.
It is. And Sam, like, a lot of it as well is like people who think that they're geniuses because they're like, actually, the most important player on the pitch is the number six. No, it isn't. The best players in football score the goals. It is literally that simple. That doesn't mean the others are worthless. Like, of course, they're incredibly important. But to say that Jorginho is the third best player in the world this season is absolutely hilarious. Like, it is ridiculous, Sam. But anyway.
And he takes pens as well. Nerves of steel. You see what he did in the United game? Took a penalty straight after, slotted it in.
Is that your argument?
You know I mean?
Are you genuinely saying he's a great penalty taker because he missed a penalty and then scored a penalty?
Amazing!
What a guy!
I'm just saying.
Give him the Ballon d'Or now.
There's more qualities to him than you're saying. It's fine.
I will say this, Sam. If Luka Modric can win the Ballon d'Or in the year that he did, then Jorginho like deserves to be third. But both of those things are stupid. So let's talk about Benzema, because you've got some more nonsense to say now, I think. Benzema, number four. Don't have an issue with him being high up. Have an issue with him being this high up. I think it's ludicrous. Like, he hasn't been better than Lukaku. Hasn't been better than Salah. I wouldn't put him above Conte. Like, to me, I think he's extremely lucky to be fourth. If he was 10th, I'd say okay.
Doogie, you can go on this one.
Oba's just recovering. Oba's in mourning.
Whatever you say, I agree.
Oba's just glad that like the shine on his glasses means we can't see like the single blue tear rolling down his cheek.
Regardless of what you said, this is my last point. Sorry, Doogie. Regardless of what you said, he finished third. Yeah, he finished third. So that's it.
Great.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
I think we'll look back on that in like 10 years' time, and we'll look at the Ballon d'Or and we'll be like, Jorginho finished third. Like, wow.
Yeah, it'll be like,
going
who
on there?
Was that? Who was that player?
But anyway, enough about Jorginho, because I genuinely think I've spent about an hour of my year
this year,
which is a long time, listening to debates about why Jorginho should be third in the Ballon d'Or. And there's actually nothing anyone could ever say to me. But anyway, let's move on to Karim Benzema. I think he's had a really good year. I think he scored some outstanding goals in a very poor team compared to Real Madrid's standard of the past. And they've been a lot better this year than they were last year, particularly at the start of last year. They've had a phenomenal 2021 Real Madrid. I think they've gained 10 more points than anyone else in La Liga. I think that's Sevilla next. I think they, you know, did well to get to the Champions League semi-finals, got slightly lucky. I think Atalanta had a sending off in the last 16, and then they destroyed an injury hit Liverpool in the quarters. They didn't really give their best account of themselves against Chelsea. I actually thought Chelsea dominated that semi-final. But anyway, Benzema throughout that whole year was the outstanding player. He's got 24 goal contributions in 18 games so far this season, 23 goals and 9 assists in 34 last season. And I thought he popped up with some crucial goals and some world-class moments as well. So I've actually not got no issue with Benzema being fourth, personally.
I agree. I can see those moments. I guess it's just that I think, was he better than Harry Kane last season? He's better than Harry Kane this season, but last season, I don't think so. I just don't see it. I don't think he was better than Bruno Fernandes, who was also the outstanding player in like kind of a crappy team. I get that. That's the thing for me. It's more just that I look at Benzema and I'm like, Benzema being here, Benzema getting credit, definitely here for those things. But Benzema being fourth for the Ballon d'Or after a season in which he had a very good, but not like staggering goal rate, I could take or leave it.
To be honest, I do hear you, but like you said in the last, I can't remember now, but you said the Real Madrid tax and Barcelona tax of those players getting more recognition. That I think that's played a part in this as well, but I don't think you can kind of look past how well he did last year. With his age, with the team that he was playing around, the fact that he went into the France squad, helped them win the Nations League. And yes, some of the goals that he scored last season, like Doogie said, were quality goals. So I think he's in and around the right place. He could probably go lower, but yeah, I wouldn't argue him being in fourth.
All right. Well, let's move on then to the top two, because we've dealt with Jorginho in three.
Yeah, he deserves to be there.
Of course he does. Yeah, like everyone gets a plus one, so he could be Conte's plus one. Let's talk about the top two then, because to me, very simple. Lewandowski's in two, Messi's in first. I think somebody's pointed this out on Twitter, all the times between like 2010 and 2019 that Messi didn't win the Ballon d'Or, he should have won the Ballon d'Or. He should have won it over Ronaldo in literally every one of those seasons. But this season, did he deserve to win it? I don't think so. I think Lewandowski should have won it.
Why though? Why?
Have you looked at what Lewandowski's done? It's just incredible, Sam. It's incredible.
Yeah, but I feel like we're merging the year that there wasn't a Ballon d'Or with this.
No, because that was the season before, really. Like, look at this season, man. Like, okay, so last season, 2020-2021, when that Ballon d'Or should have been handed out, it would have only been about 3 months into that season. But over the course of that whole season, Lewandowski ended up with a record number of goals in the Bundesliga, 41 goals in the Bundesliga and 7 assists as well. And I think like 29 games. He's got 25 goals and assists in the league and Champions League this season. He won the Bundesliga again, which is his ninth time in 11 years. When you look at Messi, like Lewandowski was involved in more goals and assists than Messi. Has been better this season than Messi has been since he went to PSG. Yeah. I think so. Across all competitions, yeah. And Messi, like, he won the Copa America. Lewandowski won the Bundesliga. I don't know. I don't think that's a huge difference between those things, to be honest with you. I don't know. I just think that Lewandowski deserved to win it. I don't know what more he could do.
I think I'm annoyed. I had, like, a stat sheet in front of me, but it's gone now. But Messi, as an overall player, I think it's good that they made the new trophy, even though some people are boying it online and saying that how they're just making an award so Lewandowski can win the best striker. What's the new award called? The best striker in the world?
Something like that. Best striker, yeah.
Yeah, so I think they made that for him, basically. But I think that in terms of being the overall best player in the world, yeah, I think what Messi done last season, and obviously I get going into the new, him moving to PSG, he hasn't had a great start. But if we're looking before that, what he done at Barcelona, it's a similar thing that Karim Benzema did. The goals that he scored, helping them win the Copa del Rey, and then going to Argentina, being the top goal scorer, top assist, winning it all with an Argentina squad that is much better than we've seen previous years. But the fact that he was actually able to get them over the line, and I saw some stats about his XG is much better than Lewandowski, Ronaldo, Benzema, Haaland, Mbappe, all of those players. He literally, every metric he is at the top of, except from goals scored. So Lewandowski, yes, he scored more goals than Messi in that period. But at the same time, I think Messi deserves it. I don't think that if it was any other player, if his name wasn't Lionel Messi, people would be saying, yeah, like, I think he deserves a shout to be winning the trophy. But the fact that it's Messi and Lewandowski was robbed last year, they're saying, you should have just given it to him. Everyone that I hear having that conversation is like, you should have just given it to him, because the year before where he won everything with Bayern Munich, he should have been given this award. If that wasn't the case, even Messi even said it. But Messi said, the year before, you should have won it. He didn't say this year, because in himself, he knows, bro, I deserve this trophy. Do you know what I mean? But I could hear both sides. I could hear both sides. So, I just think Messi, in my opinion, deserved it.
I think that's fair enough. I think that's a good argument. Like, Dukes, do you have a deciding vote for us on this one? Because I think both options are pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I've said numerous times on lots of shows where we've discussed the Ballon d'Or, I'm not really angry either way. Mm. I would have given it to Lewandowski. I think he had the outstanding achievement of this year, which is that Bundesliga goal-scoring record. I saw someone on Twitter, I think it was Miguel Delaney, say that should be, you know, put down because of the fact he's playing for Bayern Munich, where there's so much financial disparity. Hello, Messi's just gone to PSG. Like, that is just not an argument whatsoever. And I really think Bayern Munich, you know, it's if, buts and maybes, would have gone on to win the Champions League if Lewandowski had been fit in that two legs against PSG. And I just think he was more consistent across the whole year. Messi started last season comparatively poorly, got into 2021, which is apparently how they do the whole year. But it's not exactly clear when they start this sort of reckoning of who should win it. And did pick up nicely, but Barcelona were way off the pace in the end, was phenomenal at the Copa America. I don't really have too much of an issue with Messi winning it, but Lewandowski has been far more consistent across the whole year and has the more extraordinary achievement for me. So he didn't just deserve it in 2020, he deserved it in 2021 for me. And it's a real shame, because he probably never will get that Ballon d'Or that he definitely did deserve at least one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's fair enough. Like, this is the problem, right? Like, when you're in the age of great players like Lionel Messi, like, there are a bunch of guys who deserve to win a Ballon d'Or, but not everybody can. You see some of the people who won in the 2000s, you think, oh my God, like, Lewandowski would have cleaned up.
Yeah, literally. And that's the thing. It's sad that he wasn't able to get the award that where he literally won six trophies with Bayern Munich. But at the same time, because at the start of it, when the award actually came out, I even tweeted, I love Messi, but Lewandowski's kind of been robbed here. But then I deeped in my mind, especially when I saw those stat sheets about how, and it's not just stats, because when you watch Messi, you would think he's the best player in the world anyway. But seeing those stats and seeing how he compares to the other players, and in terms of how many chances he creates, how many assists he gets, how many goal contribution he has across for his team and for his country as well, is like, how can you not give him the award? Am I only being like that because it's Messi's winning his seventh award? And I started to try kind of switch up my argument, but like you guys have said, I think it's either way. It would have been a breath of fresh air to see Lewandowski win it after what he'd done, but Messi just further cemented that he is the GOAT of football.
Yeah, it's interesting as well. Final point just on this is, I think this might be the final year that Messi or Ronaldo does win it, to be honest. Unless there's a dramatic turnaround in Messi's PSG form, or PSG somehow get it together to win the Champions League, neither of which I can really see. I don't think Messi's going to win the Ballon d'Or next year unless Argentina have a mental World Cup. And it definitely doesn't feel like Ronaldo's going to be anywhere close to the reckoning on current form either. So it really does feel like this was the one final sort of last hurrah from the two sort of goats of this era, or goats of the game, really.
Mm, sad times, man. Well, thank you very much, guys, for being here for this today and for giving us such a lively debate. I kind of wondered how long this one would end up being, and we've just ticked over an hour. So I shouldn't be surprised, really. But before we say goodbye, is there anything that you guys would like to plug? Sam, I'll come to you first.
If you want to know what Ronaldo said to Pascal Ferrer, is it Ferrer? I might have said it wrong on Snapchat, actually.
I don't know. Is he French or Spanish? I guess he must be French. So Ferrer?
Yeah, Ferrer. Yeah. If you want to know what he said to him and the reaction around that, go to Snapchat, subscribe, and you will find out everything on there.
Nice. What about you, Diggs?
We did a very special transfer preview, which dropped on Eurofootball Daily on Saturday.
Oh, that was really good.
Yeah, we got some access to Gianluca Damasio, the Sky Italy expert, Max Bielefeld, the Sky Germany expert, and Carvey and Darmesh from Sky Sports News as well, giving some hot tips about what January transfers could go down. And there's actually some really good information in there, so go check that out. It was on Saturday on EFD.
Cool, great recommendations, guys. Thank you very much to you. And thanks to you at home watching or listening. Make sure that you subscribe to the channel, Football Daily Podcast, or subscribe to it using your favourite podcast app. Make sure that you tell Sam on Twitter why Jorginho is overrated, why Xhaka could do the job he does. And we'll catch you all next time. Thanks very much. Bye.
Bye.